In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today the Lord preparing his disciples to the time when he is going to be crucified and temporarily will be out of their sight. And then he is saying to them and to us, let not your heart be troubled. And of course their main trouble comes from thinking how we are going to live without him. We always are comforted when we hear him around us, when we see him talking and doing miracles, and that's the status with all of us. We are comforted as much as we live in his presence, and we are troubled as much as we withdraw from this presence. We hide from him. We are on our own world, either depending on ourselves or hiding because of our sins. You remember the first time where man expressed his fear was in the Garden of Eden, when he committed the sin that God told him not to do it. He was troubled because at that time he realized that he cannot live in the presence of God. He has to disappear, or this is how he understood how to protect himself, and that's why he was troubled. Today we are going to talk about this living in the presence of God. So what is in it for God, and what is the experience for us? What is in it for God that we live in his presence? Is this something that God wants? If this is something that he is requesting from us, or he is after this, actually, it is the delight of his heart that he will dwell among us and we will become in his presence at all times. This is the reason why man was created, because God wants us to enjoy him and he wants to be living with us. The whole story of the Bible is this love story that starts in the Garden of Eden and concludes in the New Jerusalem, where God is going to fulfill this desire of his heart to live with men. This is what we hear in the book of Proverbs when God says, or the wisdom says, this is the Son of God, and my delight was with the sons of men. This is the status of people, or like between two people who love each other, they feel delighted to be in the presence of each other. Just being together, talking together. This is how God feels. He wants to be with us. That's why God chose a place for his dwelling, the tabernacle, the temple, the church. God fills the whole earth. He is everywhere. He is filling heaven and earth. Why? He wants to have a place where he call it house, home, in order for us to feel his presence, to come to this place, to renew our strength, to meet with him in person, and to go out from here comforted, feeling that he is among us. This is what inspired him also to empty himself of his glory and come to us. The whole idea of the incarnation is God to come among us. We see him, we touch him, we eat with him, and we see him in action with our own eyes. We are limited with our bodies. That's why he has to come in order for us to feel and see him. This is the delight of his heart. Not only living among us during the time of his incarnation, but more, he wants to be in us. And that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Why this to happen? Why in us? He can actually sanctify us from a distance. He doesn't need to be in us in order for us to be cleansed by the work of his Holy Spirit. Again, it is the delight of his heart. This is something pleasing to him, that he dwell in us. St. Paul says and reminds us, and reminds the Corinthians, when he say that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. This is also why he gave us his body and his blood. Another visible manifestation of his presence among us, so we can come and partake of it. And when we do this, he will be in us and we will abide in him. Also, this is what he seeks when he says that he is standing at the door and knocking. Imagine this happening every day over the doors of our hearts. Christ is knocking on the door asking, open for me, I want to come. I want to be your guest. I want you to host me. Sadly, many of us return this invitation. We turn him away. Many times we ignore his knocking on the door. If we host him in our homes, in our hearts, then when we will stand before him in the judgment day, He will remember us, and He is going to host us back in His kingdom. I'm afraid that if we ignore Him and He keep knocking and knocking and the time is over, when we stand before Him, He will say to us, I never knew you. You never hosted me. You never opened to me your homes. Why you want to dwell with me in my home? It is the promise that He gave to His disciples so that their hearts would not be troubled. He knew that nothing is going to comfort them except the fact that He is going to be among them. He will never leave them, even if they cannot see Him with their eyes. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's like a father traveling away, and he's coming saying to his children, I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come back again. I take you with me. I am not disappearing forever. Don't be troubled. I am concerned with you even while I am away. I am away to do something for you, because you are the beloved to my heart. This promise also He gave it to them before His ascension. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't ever think that you are by yourself. I am among you, walking among you. When we come to the church, we know, we believe that He is here. He might be walking between the aisles now, everywhere, and maybe comforting us in our hearts, tapping on our shoulders, assuring us that He is going to take care of us. This is a promise He gave, and we know that He is faithful and He will fulfill His promises. And this is what heaven is all about. That God dwell among us eternally, with no interruption, with no distraction. He is going to take from our minds all of the negative experiences that made us to hide away from Him. Either our worries and troubles, our fears, our sins, all of these are going to be purged out, so we can be focused on Him and we enjoy Him eternally. This is what heaven is all about. If we think heaven is about enjoying materialistic pleasures, we are greatly mistaken. This is what we hear in the book of Revelation. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be in His people. So for God, this is the delight of His heart. He wants to be among us in our homes, in our hearts, every single moment. What about us? What does it mean for us to live in His presence at all times? Actually, this is the satisfaction of our souls. We are troubled when we seek satisfaction away from Him. We feel worried because we have agenda. We have our own list of what makes us happy. And then all of these things that we try to achieve will never make us to feel fulfilled. We are troubled as much as we define happiness away from Him. We are comforted as much as we find satisfaction in Him. This is what the psalmist says to us. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Just standing before you is my satisfaction. I cannot find something more delightful than to stand before you, and then you fulfill my soul. Being satisfied in God is not a duty. Actually, it is a delight. Maybe at the beginning, our relationship with God is like a duty. We pray because we have to. We come to the church because we are forced by our parents or by our families. This should not stay like this. We should come to the point where we are delighted because of this. We find comfort in His home. We find comfort in our rooms when we stand and we stretch our hands and pray. It is should be the delight of our souls. King David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and say, serve the Lord with gladness. How this gladness will happen? Unless we really, we know, we believe that our delight is in Him and in Him alone. It is the delight in Him that makes us in need of Him only. When we reach this point, I have no desire, no other desire except to be united with God at all times. By then, our hearts are not going to be troubled. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This explains to us what does it mean for Enoch to walk with God. This is what he did. This also tells us, what does it mean for Noah to be a friend of God, or Abraham walking with God? This is what I am after. I have one friend. He is my best friend. And in him, I am delighted. I have need of nothing. Dwelling in the church then becomes the only desire. When we love God, we love his church. It becomes a place where we long to be in. The church with its aroma, with the presence of angels and the saints, with the feeling of God around us, among us, in us, becomes the most delightful place on the face of the earth. This is what David said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, one thing. If I am to ask for one thing, this is going to be the one. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This is the only thing that I have in my heart. I would come to the church and dwell here forever. Those people who are delighted in God, they turn their houses into churches, because it is very little time that I spend only with God, 3-4 hours on Sunday. I want to continue this experience at all times. When I go back home, I will find a place for him in my home. Not only it is the only satisfaction truly to our hearts, it is also the comfort at the time of fears. The psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He is not afraid because he feels the presence of God. He is walking among troubles, the valley of the shadow of death, but I am not afraid. Are you such a brave person? Fear has no place in your heart. I am like anyone, but I am walking with him. This makes the whole difference. We are troubled when we think we believe that we are by ourselves, or we don't feel his presence because of whatever reason. Then we are afraid. Why? It's very hard to make it on our own, to walk on all of these fears around us and be comforted by our own confidence or by our own assets or by those people who are around us. None of them really can touch our heart and make us comforted. Only him, when we feel his presence at all times. Not only that he is the satisfaction of our souls, his presence also comforts us. It is the guarantor of our change. We change when we live in his presence at all times. Enjoying his presence is what stirs our heart with his love. If you love someone, you spend time with him. And when you are with him, you are delighted because of this experience. This change of the heart of the person. This is what the two disciples of Emmaus experienced. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts were burned with love because they were in his presence. Even they did not acknowledge him at the beginning. If we want our hearts also to be filled with this love, to be burning with this love, we have to live in his presence. This heart that feels the presence of God and long to it at all times is the heart that feels the needs of others and rushes to serve them. Why a person like Mother Teresa, she forsake everything and goes serving the people whom she has nothing in common with them? Why? Her heart is burning with this love towards her Savior. She lives in his presence, and accordingly, she imitates him willfully. It is the one, the heart, that rejoices and grieves according to God's will. What makes you happy? What makes you sad? If you have your own list of what makes me happy and what makes me sad, that's not according to God's will, maybe you are not living in his presence. When you live in his presence, then your heart will feel like him. You will be happy when he is happy. You will be sad when his heart is grieved. It is the heart that makes us to love and offer and find joy in doing this. Serving is not going to be a burden. It's not going to be a struggle. It's going to be natural. Simply because we are in his presence. We are like him. We just imitate him. We are overwhelmed with his love. It is easy then to extend hand to others who are in need. It is the heart that makes us touch the lives of others with the grace of God. not only us, but we will be able to touch others, and we will influence them, because we are ourselves are touched with His presence. When we feel Him, it's very easy that we communicate Him to others. Others will look to us, will talk to us, and they will feel like they were themselves in His presence. There is no other way we can make this. We can fake it, we can pretend it, we can put masks, we can whatever, pretend before others, but we will never touch their hearts unless we ourselves are touched by His presence. Saint Peter, this is what he actually happened to, with him on the day of the Pentecost when he gave the sermon. Now we hear that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did exactly he say that makes such influence? Nothing, but he was in the presence of God at all times. When he talked, they felt the Spirit of God piercing their hearts. What is the way to this experience? How can we live this? It's a long story and it's a long subject, but actually I'm summarizing it in 2 points. The first one is the struggle towards unceasing prayers at all times. The more we pray, the more we like to pray. The less we pray, the less we like to pray. We assume that we are going to if we pray much, we are going to feel troubled. This is not the case. The more we spend time in His presence, the more we will like spending more time. Maybe some of you experienced this. The day you come to the liturgy from the beginning, you feel the liturgy is shorter. The day you come very late, the day you feel like even this 30 minutes was too much. The more we pray, the more we like to pray. It is this unceasing prayers, repeating the name of the Lord at all times. Just keep repeating it, praying to Him at all times, speaking to Him as if He is walking. He is walking with you. And the second way to this experience, that we submit to His will. I have nothing to desire, nothing to fear. I have nothing to request from God except that you lead me with your will. We struggle because we have our own will. We want our will to be done. I like this saying, but this brother is called Brother Lawrence. He is one of the soldiers who became a Catholic monk. This man said that we ought to give ourselves up to God with regard both to the things temporal and spiritual, and seek our satisfaction only in the fulfilling of His will, whether He leads us by suffering or by consolation, for all would be equal to a soul truly resigned. If our souls resign from its own will, suffering and consolation will be equal, because at the end of the day, both of them will lead us to Him, because this is His will and we are okay with either. When we resign our own agenda, our own will, we will be able to live in His presence and we will like this. And when will this will happen? Then again, we will never be troubled. We will be always satisfied. Even if we walk among fears, we'll still have comfort and peace. And this is the guarantor that we are going to change day after day until we become more and more like Him. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.